people think I'm damaged goods.
I'm worried about losing my job.
Will I ever get a transplant?
I want to see my children graduate from college.
How can I afford this?
I don't want to be a burden.
I'm afraid.
I'm overwhelmed with information.
Sometimes I wonder if I'll ever fall in love and get married.
I just want to play with my friends.
You're listening to Kidney Talk, streaming health, happiness, and hope to the renal community with your hosts, Lori Hartwell and Stephen First.
Well, welcome to another issue of Kidney Talk. Today, we're going to really tap into a serious issue, and it's one that's not talked about a lot, and it's that when people become older, they can have anger outbursts, get really upset. And I know when I was in dialysis, a couple of times some of the patients in dialysis would just start screaming and get angry. So today we have an author, Jacqueline Marcel, and she wrote a book called Elder Rage, or Take My Father, Please, How to Survive Caring for Aging Parents. So welcome to the show, Jacqueline.
Hey, thanks for having me, Lori. But you got to say the title like this, Or Take My Father.
Oh, Take My Father, Please. So tell us a little bit about what was the inspiration of writing this book.
Rage.
Anger can be a powerful motivator, right?
Yeah, I took care of my parents for a year. My whole life just completely stopped. Thought I'd be in San Francisco for, a few weeks. Yeah, that's how that went. And my dad, he'd always adored me and loved me. It was, but he had a bad temper. But it was never at me before. But now it was. And here he's been taking care of mom for 11 years. She'd had a heart attack. Done a great job, but would call me every day and tell me how hard it is, and I'd fly there, and I'd get caregivers in place. He'd throw them out of the house, but now she almost died from his inability to continue to care for her properly, and I thought, well, now he'll accept help if she survives 3 months in the hospital and me nursing her back to life, and he still wouldn't. And he's screaming at me, and I'm crying, and he's calling me every nasty name, and he's throwing me out of the house. And I'd take him to the doctor, and he'd be adorable and totally normal and completely competent. And I'd be like, oh, my gosh, what is happening here? So I went through a whole year I shouldn't have had to go through. If I only knew then what I know now. And I was so angry about it, I decided I've got to write a book. And so I wrote Elder Rage, and somehow it came out with a lot of humor. Otherwise, who the heck would want to read about that? But it's just catapulted me to a mission of educating people on this issue of elder care and the beginning, very subtle beginnings of dementia, any type of dementia, and how to manage a very challenging person that refuses help.
So what did you learn when you first were able to say, wow, my father has a medical condition? What did you do?
Well, I thought there was something wrong with it. I took him to a psychiatrist. I thought, I researched every psychological, medical. He had the 10 early warning signs of just about everything. And it wasn't, I went through 40 caregivers. He, threw them out of the house. Most were there for about 10 minutes. He'd be so nasty to them. But anyway, it was like so far into this, four times having him hauled off to a psychiatric hospital for violence. He'd never, ever laid a hand on me. And they'd evaluate him, they release him, send him home again. And a friend of mine said, well, why don't you call the Alzheimer's Association? I said, oh, my God. I have had every doctor, I've taken him to a neurologist. I've had nurses. I've had occupational therapists. I've had physical therapists here working with mom since we brought her home from the hospital. I've had social workers. I'm not shy. I'm a highly aggressive person searching for the answers. I'm in a major metropolitan area. So, all right, I'll call the Alzheimer's Association. What could they possibly know that none of these other healthcare professionals have told me? Well, that was the call that saved my life, and they pointed me to the 10 early warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, which you can get off my website free right now. If you go to elderrage.com, scroll down on the left, you're going to see the warning signs. Click on those, print them out, put them in a little spiral notebook, and every time study them. And every time you notice your loved one, or maybe if you're worried about you, keep notes, write it down, keep accurate ideas and samples, because these behaviors are they'll come and they'll go very subtly, very intermittently over many years. And so once I saw that and I saw those warning signs and I was like, yeah, he's doing every one of these, but aren't these just a normal part of aging? Isn't this just what happens when you get older? You know, your memory fades, but and that's what the biggest problem is out there in the community, is that, well, you know, mom's getting older, and everybody chalks it up to stress and old age, which I did, and it was that. It was stress, and it was old age, but it was also a dash of dementia, as I call it, dementia being a big umbrella term. Alzheimer's just one type. It makes up like 60 to 80% of all the dementias, but there's many, many, many types of dementia. But that's when the light bulb went on for me, Lori. And I was like, oh my gosh. And they directed me to a neurologist who was specialized in dementia. Because the neurologist I had taken him to said, what day is it? What time is it? Who's the governor? Well, seems fine. He seems okay for us, for a man his age. And so I finally got in. Of course, it was a 6-month waiting list, and I've already been there almost a year, and I'm like, oh no. How am I going to get into it? They're so specialized, these doctors. I called every day, and I said, please, do you have a cancellation? Jacqueline, we'll call you if we have a cancellation. Call another. Jacqueline, we know. I think they just got me in 2 weeks to get me off their backs. But you know what? I was crying. I said, if these were your parents, you'd be doing the same thing. Well, I got an appointment. They called. They said, we have a cancellation for this. I said, we're there. Well, that's when we finally got the diagnosis. And it was, you know, not a simple thing. It's not, you know, a simple little blood test. It's blood, neurological, memory tests, PET scans, ruling out reversible dementias like a B12 deficiency, a folate deficiency, thyroid deficiency, a depression alone can cause dementia-like symptoms. Medications that they were taking. It's a complex, and this was a team of neurologists. And, oh, my gosh, once you should have heard my jaw when it hit the floor when I got the diagnosis of this in my parents, both of them.
At the same time?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, what they suspected then and what is very much highly proven now is a very high correlation with heart disease and Alzheimer's. Diabetes and Alzheimer's. So, you know, take good care of yourself. My parents both had, you know, heart issues. And so that goes into a type of vascular dementia, but it can also be in combination. Some of these dementias can kind of cross over, I guess. So anyway, that's when my, you know, bing, 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 oh my gosh. And it made me feel so much better that, you know, my father just, when I understood that his anger at me was because he was intermittently illogical and irrational, where before I could say, Dad, I bought you two new little hand towels, instead of, why did you throw away my hand towels? Oh, you've never done anything for us. Get that out of my house.
Well,
over two little hand towels, you know what I mean?
So anything would set him off.
You never knew what's going to set him off, so you'd walk on eggshells. Now, we walked on eggshells our whole life. So look what happened. He became addicted and trapped in his own bad behavior of a lifetime of screaming and yelling and pounding and spitting and spewing when he got angry, but not over things like hand towels.
Right.
More like things that, you know, really...
Yeah, like wrecking the car or something.
You know, still over the top, but this was really over the top. So once I understood that, and I understood the intermittability, how's that for a word? Intermittability. of the disease, and that, you know, the next day he would be my loving dad, and I, you know, he'd be totally rational. And then, you know, a few days later, it'd be like, honey, I don't know how to tie my shoelaces.
That must have been just a mind game for you.
Oh!
Because you think, oh, wow, it's gotten better, and then, bam, it's bad again.
Well, yeah, and he was such a drama queen his whole life. I mean, you never knew what was wrong with him. I locked myself in the bathroom when I was 5 when the doctors used to make house calls in those days. And my father was in with the doctor, and my father was screaming at the top of his lungs. So traumatized, I locked myself in the bathroom. My mother had to come with a knife and go, honey, daddy's okay, he's just getting a penicillin shot, that's all.
That's pretty funny. Well, once they got the diagnosis, what do they do, or what do they suggest you do as a family member?
Oh, it was just huge. Once we got the diagnosis, then we got, there's four medications that are FDA approved now. They're Band-Aids. They're not a cure. They're not going to stop the progression of the disease, but they're the best we have at the moment. But there's 100 medications in clinical trials, and we just need one to work better. But one of these medications, they're Aricept, Exelon, Razadyne, and the fourth one, Namenda, works in combination with one of the other three. I'm not a doctor. Ask your neurologist who is specialized in dementia. But if you don't hear those medications, if you hear, I'll say to people, what's your mom, you know, what are they, oh, they're giving her Prozac. Well, that's not a medication for Alzheimer's. So you've got to make sure that you get to the right doctor, because then they, one of these medications, the combination, like I mentioned, it can mask the symptoms. So the dementia is still, the Alzheimer's still progressing underneath, okay? But, hey, if you can mask the symptoms so they're more cognitively with it longer, I don't care if that's your mom or that's you, you'll take it. So if you get 3 months or 3 years, who cares? You're getting some more time where you're more able to have your loved one be independent if you got them there early. Now, if I had gotten all this information when I first got to San Francisco with my parents, a year sooner, I could have delayed a lot more of the stuff that happened. But I didn't know.
Right.
So
it's probably a sense of denial, too. Oh, wow, this can't be happening. I mean, if I don't really look at it and it's intermittent, then, you know, it's just like the boogeyman. If I'm under the covers and nobody sees me, it's not happening.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. I have been battling the denial factor. Even some of my closest friends who went through this episode with me have read my book, have heard me speak at conferences, and now they're just starting to go through it with their parents, and they're starting to have the light bulb go on, and they're like, I didn't really get it before. And now they're so far into it, you know?
Well, you mentioned two things that, you know, people who have kidney disease, the number one cause of death for people with kidney disease is cardiovascular disease. And the two number one causes of kidney failure are diabetes and high blood pressure, with diabetes being the number one issue. So in my intro, when I talked a little bit about, you know, I've been in dialysis clinics and patients are yelling or having a difficult time, I mean, they're probably suffering from some form of dementia.
It can be a combination. That's why the right healthcare professionals are so key. And remember, you're the boss. You know, you can fire your doctor and get another one. So look for second, third opinions. And with the internet now, you know, there's so much you can research and find on reliable, you know, health-related websites. So once we got my parents' brain chemistry better balanced, we slowed down the progression of the dementia, the symptoms anyway. We treated the depression, and I'm not a huge fan of medication, but boy, I saw a difference in mom and dad.
And how long? How long did it take?
Oh, you know, getting the dosages right, and don't give one more than one drug at a time to make sure that they tolerate it. And you got to start at very, very low dosages and then, you know, build up. So you want to get the, you know, maximum benefit for the least amount of medication, and the one that worked on her didn't work on him. It was a lot of work, but wow, we finally got it. There, and then we got something to help him with his rages. And I'm thinking, why didn't we have that 50 years ago?
What was that? Was it a punching bag?
Medication on that. Things have changed since then.
Yes.
There's a lot of medications out now. But again, the right doctor. But anyway, we finally balanced their brain chemistries to the best they could be for their conditions at their age. Then I was finally able to do some behavioral things where before that wouldn't work. Now, instead of, you know, him screaming and yelling at me about two hand towels, I now could, when he would get upset about something, I would know not to take it to heart. I would know to have the emotional Jacqueline Marcel shield.
Yeah, not react, right?
Oh, I'm so sorry you're upset about that. Hey, did I tell you? We got a letter from Aunt Rose. Wait till you hear what's happening with her. Oh, come, documentary on about da-da-da-da-da. He'd love anything going to the moon or anything related to NASA. Or, you know, so I had all those tapes, and I just kept rotating them. And so I learned how to use distraction and redirection and not get into you know, don't play the game of arguing with them, because you cannot reason with someone that's telling you, you know, my mother would say one time, she was totally lucid, and all of a sudden she burst into tears. She goes, "My father killed my mother." I'm like, "What? Grandpa died when I was a baby. I never even met him. Grammy lived to be 97. He didn't kill him." Well, that son of...
Just totally making things up.
So what do you do? How do you, you know, so you try to distract them to something else, or you try to... And that what I used in that method there, which I didn't even know was called the validation theory. I just called it go with the flow. And then I found out later there's been books written on the validation theory. But anyway, what it is instead of saying, "Oh, how did your father kill your mother?" I said, "Oh, gosh, gee, tell me about your dad." So you go behind the statement, and then she told me all these awful things about her father, and da-da-da-da, and I'd heard most of the stories before. But you know what? Then she was much calmer. So the validation theory says if you let people that are saying something that's totally untrue, when they have, you know, dementia of any kind, and they're being illogical and irrational, instead of arguing with them, you can try distraction, and, you know, but try just going behind the statement and letting them get it out and going with the flow and validating their frustrated feelings. Because the theory says that it may help them bring some degree of closure of issues for a lifetime. Now, we never heard that from her again.
Well, because they're just reliving memories in their brain.
Who knows? It surfaced for some reason. Somehow she, maybe she was watching a movie about something that happened and she connected it to her father. And but, you know, can you imagine being so frustrated and people telling you that didn't happen and in your mind it did?
Right.
So you got to just, you know, don't you want somebody to do that for you when you get there? Absolutely.
Well, and I think the slogan would say, you know, you need to be happy instead of right. Like, you don't need to correct your parent or somebody. Just be happy and, you, like you said, go with the flow.
Want to have low blood pressure.
Yes. Well, one of the things that comes to mind is going through this evaluation with your father. Was he agreeable to all of these appointments?
Are you kidding? It was horrible. It was horrible. I mean, threats and, you know, when I finally got an appointment with a psychiatrist, it was over the, when I didn't even know what was going on with him yet, I thought, well, and it was over Christmas and nobody's taking new patients, and I called 100 and some psychiatrists in the San Francisco Bay Area. I finally got one to call back. We could get you in on Monday, and I'm not going to any other. Well, I was like, I didn't care if I had to stun gun him and strap him to the hood of the car. He was going. I was so angry at this point. And I just, you know, I got Mom ready. We got in the car. We sat there. We, you know, God forbid he should be separated from her. That was a fate worse than death for him. You know, and I kept bribing him with, you know, we'll just go. If you don't like him, you don't have to go back. You know, we'll go, I'm going to make you a fan. We'll stop. We'll get, you know, your hamburger that you like and a milkshake, and we'll do this. You know, bribing, threatening. I had all the healthcare professionals that he liked promoting the idea of seeing this doctor. I tried everything. Finally, he got in the car, you know, swearing the whole way there that there wasn't anything wrong with him.
That's pretty funny. But it worked out. Your persistence paid off. Now, one of the things I'm lucky about is about 2 years ago, my mom just decided, like, I don't want to drive anymore.
Good for you.
And I know. And at first I was like, oh, my goodness, I'm going to have to, you know, because I basically have to cart her around now, take her places. And, you know, I feel like the daughter's soccer mom. But, you know, did you have difficulty, any strategies you learned in your, you know, interviewing of other people about this serious issue? When people who are not supposed to drive and have, you know, dementia are driving, how do you get the keys away?
I have lived this. My father loved to drive, never had an accident, screaming and yelling, he could still drive. He couldn't, he had bad sight, he had bad hearing, bad reflexes, a dash of dementia, and pain, so he couldn't turn and look over his shoulder. But that's just me. I don't think he should be driving. And so
just make sure that you know when he's on the road, so you're not on the road.
Exactly. Well, I finally took the car keys away. He called me every nasty name you could imagine, just hated me so much. And I tried to explain, had all the healthcare professionals promoting he shouldn't be driving. His license is still good. We parked a car behind his. He stole the car keys. We put the club on the steering wheel. He nearly ripped the steering column out. I gave this lecture one time, and this woman said, oh, yeah, I put the club on the steering wheel. My father had AAA there next day sawing it off. I said, well, demented does not mean stupid. So anyway, here's what I would do now with the knowledge I have gained. I would say, well, Dad's in the shower, which was a miracle because you couldn't get him in there either. Had to bribe him to get in there. And I'd say, oh, Dad, well, you're a little phibology, but you know what? This is life and death stuff. I would say, oh, Dad, you know, while you were in the shower, the Department of Motor Vehicles called. I don't know. Somebody must have reported you driving erratically. I know. I'm going to have to take you over. They want me to bring you over in an hour for a routine eye exam. Now, I would have the appointment set up. I would have called a supervisor. I would explain the situation. I would have said, make him take the eye test. If he passes that, give him the written test. If he passes that, clear the parking lot. And give him the driving test, because I'm sure Mr. Magoo cannot even see the big E. So I was just, that's what I would do. And, you know, he would scream and yell and swear all the way driving there, I'm sure. But it would be at the DMV, not me.
Right. You weren't the bad guy. You just set up the scenario.
And, you know, why most families don't take the car keys away? It's that they don't want to be the chauffeur to take mom or dad everywhere they need to go. Oh, they're just driving to the local store. Well, yeah, George Weller in Santa Monica, I don't know if you heard about that one,
yes.
Where he drove through the farmer's market on 3rd Street Promenade over there. I've been to that market many, many, many times. Surprised my friends were there. He plowed through 50, 60 people.
Right, just on a trip to the market.
Just because the family did not want to take the car keys away, because they don't want to have to drive him to go to the market. Well, guess what? When he finally, here's what I think happened. The man was well into his 80s. He didn't wake up that day and decide, I'm going to go commit vehicular manslaughter. He had no record of any kind. He had dementia. He got behind the wheel. He forgot what the brake and the gas were for. He got confused. Difficulty performing a familiar task is one of the first warning signs. So when he finally got the car stopped, he got out of the car, and the first thing he says was, I saw it on the news, they should have got out of my way. Now, does anybody not get that that was dementia? Yeah, everybody was enraged. How could he say such a thing? And I was like, will somebody please? So I went on every radio station that I could get on, and really to try to reach some of the victims of that and the families, to try to explain to them what happened to this man and that this is the family's fault. If I had been able to talk to that family and convince them what was happening to their father and gotten the car keys away, put the club on the steering wheel, put a kill switch in the glove compartment, so a locked glove compartment so it wouldn't start, put a notch in his keys so he could keep his keys, but the starter wouldn't work. Oh, we got to that darn. We got to
become
that
very clever.
There's a million things you can do, even if they still have, even if you take them over and they get their license, or even if their license is revoked. If the person has dementia, middle of the night, they're not going to remember that their license is revoked. They want to go to the store. They're going to get in the car and drive. Having or not having a license is part of the process, but you have to physically disable the car. And then I would say, oh, shoot, the darn car. We had to have it towed. I would tow it to a friend or just drive it there when he was asleep. But anyway, and then I would say, oh, they just can't get that part in from Japan. I don't know. You got to be creative. And
yes,
it requires,
it sounds like
symbology.
You're very creative.
But you know what? The accident rate for seniors, last statistic I heard was 4 times higher, and fatality rate like 9 times higher. So you've got to get people off the road. And look at what's happening. 10,000 baby boomers are turning 65 every day.
Sure.
It's just, don't go to Florida. Every time I go to Florida, I want to take a crash helmet with me. They're all still driving. And why is that? Well, they're all voters, and they vote down the initiatives to check seniors' you know, eyes and reflexes and, you know, hearing and ability to drive. They keep voting that down. So the DMV keeps sending them the, you know, I get emails all the time. My mother just got her license sent to her in the mail. She's 92. She shouldn't be driving. Why are they doing this? You know, so laws need to be changed, but, you know, that requires voters. There's a lot of seniors who vote. And you got to, you know, you got to walk a mile with their walker. How are you going to be? How am I? I'm going to be mad, too. I'm going to be furious. Somebody tried to take my car keys away, and I'm going to have to read my own book because that's your last, you know, freedom. And here, think about it. You're an elderly person. You've been to a dozen funerals in the last few years. All your friends and family are dying. You got aches and pains from head to toe. Everything's going. You're facing mortality directly. And now you got the rotten kid that you raised and sacrificed for telling you what to do and taking away your car keys. How mad are you going to be?
Yes.
And you got a dash of dementia, so you're not really understanding, particularly in the beginning. I'm fine, you know. You can't diagnose yourself.
No,
and
it's...
So you've got to then be the devoted daughter that says, oh, I'm so sorry the DMV took your license away. Let me arrange for alternate transportation. So you don't want them to feel trapped at home. What would you want somebody to do for you? Dad, I found there's transportation for seniors that run right through here. And for a small fee, I can get you hooked up and you can go wherever you want to go. Gosh, if we sell the car, the money we would save on the gas and the insurance and the maintenance and blah, blah, blah. You can go by limo to the doctor if you want.
Right.
So you come up with talking to the neighbors, you know, gosh, could you keep an eye on my mom and dad? Or, you know, if you're making a run to the store, could you drop in and see if they need something? And, you know, just send me a bill and I'll pay whatever it is. You know, work ways to keep them safely at home where they don't feel trapped.
Right, where they feel comfortable and they don't feel like they're being deprived of something.
Yeah, and you know, like I mentioned about the hamburger and the milkshake, it was like I fed them the most healthy meals, you know, every day. And then on the weekend, gosh darn it, in your 80s, if you can't have a hamburger and milkshake once, you know. And they loved it. And I told the caregiver that I finally found that took care of mom and dad. I said, you know, honey, Ariana, I said, when I get that age, when I ask for Haagen-Dazs, you better go get it.
Well, you know, to help with depression, or if you are prone to depression, if you don't have something to look forward to, I mean, if it's that milkshake and hamburger every Saturday, I say go for it.
Exactly.
Although people on dialysis can't have dairy products, a lot of them. So... well, yes, yeah, something, maybe a root beer float with a little bit of ice cream.
There you go. You know, you do something, you know, I'm dealing with friends of mine now that, you know, they have the mom by herself and they've got a relative who's got a drinking problem who's been staying with her and we're going to get rid of that person. And, you know, the person's been there for years and years and years and years. You know, hasn't done anything horrible. And this is the companion for this 80-some-year-old lady. Now they're going to get rid of this guy. I said, and I'm like, oh, man. But nobody's going to be there with her.
Right.
I think it's just cruel. You know,
right.
Instead of making it a win-win, here's things that you could do, you know, to, you know, help with mom. And, you know, and then we'll help you with this. And, you know.
Yeah, try to find a solution that works for them. Well, can you tell a little bit about when you're a caregiver, the stress of being a caregiver of somebody who's uncooperative can really make you sick.
What are you talking about? I got breast cancer.
Oh, wow. So it impacted, did your blood pressure go up? I mean, you have to take care
went,
of yourself.
You know where. I was under so much stress. It was constant insulin. You know, because I was eating horribly. Who had time to eat healthy when I was trying to manage two parents? And mom needed, you know, I had to feed her, and she'd chew every bite 40 times. It would take 3 times. It was horrible. Got the Insure Pluses, and she was barely, you know, 100 pounds soaking wet. Dad, I couldn't get to stop eating. He's drinking the Insure Pluses like they're a milkshake. You know, I'm trying to manage them. And so my insulin is high, my adrenaline is surging through me, the cortisol with my father raging and screaming and throwing me out of the house. my rage at all the healthcare professionals that weren't helping me, all the agencies that I called that just would say, well, did you call this agency? Well, did you, after you've told your story 40 times, you're about ready to, you know. Well, yeah, so after, and I missed my mammogram, of course. My health insurance wouldn't pay for cover stuff for me while I was, it was a mess. Anyway, yeah, I got breast cancer. No cancer in our family. I'm the first. So I talk a lot now when I lecture to healthcare professionals and families, and, you know, I do all that stuff. But anyway, I always talk about care for the caregiver. Because, you know, I gave Mom and Dad 5 more years of life in their 80s. It's cost me many years in my 50s. I've had 6 surgeries. I had to go. I'm in remission. Thank you very much. Just got tested again. But, yeah, I had to have the whole thing. I mean, really severe, nearly stage 3, so double mastectomy, the 6 months of the chemo, you feel horrible, then the radiation, and you get burned, and then you get the neuropathy in your feet, and then you get medication you got to take for 5 years to search for any estrogen in your body if you have estrogen-receptive cancer, which most breast cancers are, and then that wrecks your bones, and then you...
It just goes on and on.
On and on and on. Now, I'd have people say to me, oh, honey, are you, you know, taking care of you? I'd be like, where am I going to find it? Remember, I had to go to the little bank Mom and Dad had, and the woman there who knew me very well, I'd been there many times, and she looked up, and she literally gasped when she looked at me. And I'm like, man, I must look bad. She, oh, my God, Jacqueline, are you okay? And I got a glance at myself in the mirror. I'm going, who are you? I aged stress. I mean, your telomeres are just getting cut off. They are not replicating. You are not sleeping through the night. Dad was a sundowner, so he's up all night. She's up all day. You know, I am blasting rap music next to his good ear. I can't get him up during the day. I'm slamming doors. I'm vacuuming. He is just ready to party at about 1 a.m. So, yeah, my health went you know where. But once I got to the right doctors, like I said, and I balanced brain chemistry, then I could get them out of bed, and I got them into adult daycare. That was the answer. Once they went there, the shuttle would bring them and take them, and they had activities and interaction with, you know, other people, and the focus wasn't on me, and they were working with people that knew how to manage early-stage Alzheimer's patients. They had movies and crafts and, you know, field trips and all kinds of things.
To stimulate their brain.
Oh, my gosh. It was unbelievably great. And I'm just enraged because all these programs have gotten shut down with, you know, the budget crisis. But these programs have taken decades to get in place. And now they're, you know, these are not money-making operations. People don't make money from running an adult daycare, let me tell you. It is a lot of work, and those people are saints that do that, and we've got to support them so that because we just need them. How are people going to possibly take care of their loved ones all day? The cost to our society of people, the lost productivity from the absenteeism is costing American business billions and billions of dollars a year. Because people, if your mom has a stroke or has a heart or, you know, needs care, you're gone from your job. You've got to go do it. And so there's just so much happening, and the sheer number of people getting older, the baby boomers trying to care for their elderly parents, and now they're getting older too, and 1 out of 8 by the age of 65 gets Alzheimer's, and
wow.
1 out of 2, almost 1 out of 2 by the age of 85 gets it.
Wow.
What are we going to do with all
these
people?
I know. We're living so much longer based on technology.
Yeah, we can do open heart surgery like a root canal now. So, you know, we're living longer, but we haven't solved what we're going to do with all these demented people that who's going to take care of them. So adult daycare is the answer. Once I finally got them in there, then I had a break. My blood pressure started to come down a little bit. I still got breast cancer. It was a year of horrible stuff. But anyway, then I was able to go to a support group, which I highly recommend. Call just look online for in your area, call the Alzheimer's Association, call your local hospital. You know, they have a support group, I'm sure, in your area that is specific to whatever illness it is. And because when you talk to your friends and they're not going through this, their eyes will roll back in their heads. And they want to be helpful, but they're not there yet. They don't want to deal with it. It's too icky. But if you talk to other people going through what you're going through and your specific illness, solutions start to present themselves. Because then you'll say, oh, Dad did this and this. Oh, my dad did the same thing.
I know. You just feel like it's incredibly validating. Like, wow, I'm not going crazy when you have somebody else to share your story.
Exactly. And I get numerous emails a day from people that tell me, oh my gosh, I loved your book. It made me feel less alone. I thought I was the only one going through this kind of craziness.
Well, Jacqueline, you know, this has been a very enlightening interview. And, you know, I think it brings so much information because eventually everybody's going to have to deal with this who has aging parents. That's basically the end of the, you know, story. Everybody's going to have to deal with this at some point in time. And this has been great information because sometimes people think, oh, well, if I go to a doctor and they say nothing's wrong, you need to search for the right doctor and that will help be a partner in your care.
Exactly. So, yeah, those warning signs are just so critical. I pass those out in all my lectures, and I give them to all the healthcare professionals. I say, make copies of these. Give this even if you're a podiatrist, and you're sitting there, and a patient is asking you, you know, what time it is four times in 10 minutes. You will understand short-term memory is one of the warning signs. Wouldn't it be great if you could hand these warning signs to that family? So I tell everybody, make copies of this. Multiple copies. Give them to your friends. Give them to your family. This is when the light bulb goes on for people.
Well, thank you so much. Why don't you give the audience your website one more time?
Oh, sure. It's elderrage.com. And my speaking schedule's there. The link to my radio show, Coping with Caregiving, is there. Tons of valuable resources. Anytime I find anything valuable, I put a link to it. Just tons of stuff there, and those 10 warning signs, which I highly, highly recommend you study. Everybody study, please.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm so glad that, you know, you were able to give all this information, and unfortunately, you had to go such as a serious situation, but, you know, adversity introduces you to yourself, right?
Oh, you know, I tell caregivers, you know, all the time, I say, you know, when life takes you to your knees and nearly destroys you, it may also be the catalyst that propels you to a higher purpose, a higher passion, a higher reward than you would have ever thought possible. Because I was a television executive, not in elder care. I had no interest in this, or writing a book, or speaking, nothing. And this experience was so profound that isn't that interesting that now it's taken me on this absolute just path. And I've just helped just so many people, and I'm just so honored by it.
Well, great. Well, thank you, and look forward to looking on your website.
Thanks, Lori.
We can control our own destiny.
We can take charge of our health and ask questions about our medical options.
We can form partnerships with our healthcare team.
We can take steps towards self-improvement.
We can be sensitive to the impact of our disease on our family.
We can sing, dance, laugh, and enjoy our lives.
We can appreciate today and look forward to tomorrow.
We can help and support our fellow patients.
We can pursue our hopes and dreams.
We can make a difference.